This is episode 161 on May 12th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I am fantastic, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Well, excellent. The saga has ended.
Good. It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time. I finally got my new computer up and running. I've got everything set up. I watched tutorials on YouTube, and now I have my podcasting machine, and it is going great. I absolutely love it. So the only issue that I have tonight is I'm having to connect through with my iPhone's hotspot because for some reason the house internet is lacking. And so, you know, I tested this out. We tested this out 2 days ago to see if it would run pretty good with my iPhone, and it has. So that's my backup in case of, storm outages and all that. So I think we have a game plan, man.
Yeah, everything sounds good so far.
Yeah, so far. I tried switching it back to the house internet, but I lost you for like 2 minutes or so. But
That'll happen.
Yeah, I think we're good. But what you been up to? Anything photography-wise?
Well, since we talked last week, I have I've been busy with our photo challenge this week.
Yeah.
I finally got around to creating my picture of my son that I kind of alluded to a few episodes back. I don't think I really explained it, but basically I got a picture of that monster from the book Where the Wild Things Are.
Uh-huh.
And kind of superimposed into this picture with my son.
Yeah.
Because it kind of looks like the monster's looking at him, and my son is kind of like hugging this little tree, and it looks like he's kind of like hiding behind it. And so I don't know. I just thought it really fit. So that was pretty fun messing around with that. And then this past weekend, we went to like this little amusement park, and I got a chance to really play with my stylus telephoto lens a whole lot. I'm just so happy with that lens. Got a lot of great pictures. I shot a few videos that I'm in the process of kind of splicing up into a little home movie thing, I guess.
Nice.
But just everything looks so great through that lens. I really love that lens a lot.
Very cool. And with that image that you shot with your son, what apps did you use to superimpose?
Pretty much just Nlight.
Oh, really? Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So they have a feature in Nlight called the Mixer tool.
Uh-huh.
And it basically just lets you drop like a picture on top of a picture. And then, you know, you can change the size or do whatever, and then change blending modes and masking and all that fun stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah. So this edit was a little more complicated in that I had this idea almost right away when I took the picture, and I tried it, and I took this picture like a month ago, if not longer than that, and there was just something about it. It wasn't right. So what I ended up doing was taking the picture of the monster and completely blacking it out, and then I used that as a drop shadow. So what I had to do was put the drop shadow in first and then go back and put the monster in, but I had to get the sizing just right and the placement just right so that it would look somewhat correct.
Okay.
So it was a little tricky. It took me a little longer than I would have liked to get it all put together. But in the end, I'm relatively happy with it. So
very cool. Yeah, I like the image. It turned out very well. And I think it is a, I think it's a classic. It looks like a classic.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, someday my son will appreciate it. Right now he sees it. I don't even think he really understands what he's looking at.
Wait, how old is he now?
He's 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't appreciate it yet.
No, he, I think we tried to read him the book a few times and he doesn't care for it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I have had an interesting week. Not only had I, you know, been getting everything prepared for this computer, but today, which is Thursday and Friday, I am I'm helping with our annual community project. And so this is, I think, the third or fourth year that they've asked me to photograph the project. And of course I said yes. And so I get the grueling job of having to take photos. And so I've been having a lot of fun with it. I have my Canon, but then I have my iPhone. And I think I've, between the two, I have shot probably 2 to 1 with my iPhone. And just the ease of use, the being able to do some panoramics, and just it's much bigger screen, so I can see, you know, what looks good and what doesn't look good. It was very you know, very fun. I like being able to do this, but I love being able to do it on my iPhone. I tend to use it more than my Canon. And then the other thing that I like is I have a hotspot in my work truck, and so I'm able to take and offload the images from my Canon and through the hotspot load them onto my phone and be able to look through that way with a good screen, because the Canon 30D, even though it has a display in the back, it seems like a postage stamp size. And so you can't really gauge the images with the screen. Back in the day, it was great because it was bigger than, I believe, the 10D was. I think the 20D and the 30D have the same size. But still, it's just you can't see the soft focus. There's a lot of issues. You can't see if you're getting the correct exposure with the LCD. It could be that over time it's starting to fade. But once I got those images onto my iPhone, I was able to see if they were crisp and clear and the colors looked right. And I really liked that feature, and it didn't take me long. I have a little setup to where I can use the browser to upload using an app, and it will load it onto the app. And from the app, I can download it into my camera roll and be able to look at them, you know, delete the ones I don't like. And if I need to make any edits, I can use Nlight or Polar or Snapseed and, you know, with my DSLR images. So that's fun. Tomorrow I go back and I'm going to get some after photos. Actually, the project's not complete. We had a couple projects that took some time, mostly the pouring the concrete. They're going to go back afterwards and seed and straw in certain areas, but I'll have to go back and take some images of the project once it's complete, but I enjoy it. One of the cool things that is fun is one of the first projects that I photographed, might have been the second, or I think it was the first, One of the guys that was there, I was like, oh yeah, I got an image of him. He is a TV line tech, and so he has a bucket truck, and they were using the bucket trucks to paint the foul poles for the baseball fields. And, you know, they were painting them yellow, so he had, you know, paint all over the place. And so I told Mike, I was like, hey, hold on, let me get a picture. And he had a great smile. He had his hard hat on, and he had gloves on. And when the gloved hand that didn't have the paintbrush, he had a yellow stripe. I guess he had grabbed the pole when it was still wet, but he had his thumb up, and it was a great image. He, in his other hand, was the paint roller. And my company actually took that, and it's one of the images that they have in one of the halls. And so it's displayed in the hall where people can walk by it every day and see it. Not only that, but on the website, there is a photo gallery that automatically scrolls. And that's one of the images that is on, the website to the public. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And, so, you know, just a few things, with my job that I'm able to do that isn't my job. And one of them is photography. And it's nice to be able to take my talents and be able to use it and, you know, be able to, capture some great images, but then also, seeing them displayed is a lot of fun too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. At least you work somewhere too where you have the opportunity to take pictures from time to time.
Yeah. Well, my job in particular, I have to take pictures every day with my iPhone because we have to document our work. And even though it may not be admissible in court, it's one way to cover our rear ends when the boss says, oh, something got cut. Let's see the pictures. Oh, you did have it marked. Okay. You know, so I do have to take pictures with my iPhone every day.
That's cool. Yeah. Photography is definitely not a part of my job.
Yeah. Do they even let your camera in the job place?
Well, I mean, I have to have my cell phone, so they.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't do that, but.
But photography is a no-no.
It's not really so much my company that mandates anything. It would be my customer.
But, oh, you know, got it.
I take pictures of things, but not pictures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Well,
that probably made absolutely no sense at all. Like today, for instance, I took pictures of. Like a quart of some kind of weird oil so that I could just remember what it was so I didn't have to write it down.
Yes.
But I can't take like cool pictures of the inside of the steel plant that I do sales at.
Right.
So that is not an option.
There are a few places where they say we can't take pictures unless we have prior approval. And so a lot of times you have to be careful if you are at a particular place, because even though we can take pictures almost anywhere we want, private property still requires you to be pretty much obey the rules of wherever you're at, or else they may kick you out. I don't know so much if they could sue you, but you know, they can ask you not to come back. And if it has to do with work, you know, if you lose that account, you're losing money, and that's not good. But one of the things that I do with my work is I show the other guys how to use their iPhones, because even just, you know, taking pictures, because a lot of times we have to be able to show an area. And not only that, we have to have something that's recognizable, because if you just take a whole bunch of pictures and it's pointing straight at the ground, there's no reference. There's no way of being able to know where you're at. And so I've had to show a lot of the guys at work, okay, you got to hold it up. We need to see at least some landmark. And you know, in a way that it doesn't look like garbage too, because even though the images that I take are probably never going to be seen again, I still want them to look good. That's a photographer in me. So I'm always like, oh yeah, just, I'm trying to, get the horizon just right. Oh, is it bright enough or dark enough? Whereas the guys, they just pull it out and just start pressing the button, and it could be totally washed out or, you know, kind of cockeyed, or there's no rhyme or reason to the image. You're looking at it and go, what was he taking a picture of? So I get to, you know, play photographer in that way and show them how to do different things. It's like, all right, this is how you can adjust the brightness or in all that. Like, oh wow, where'd you learn that? And I was like, I learned it, and you know, I teach it, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it.
Cool. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So here, let me do this.
News team, assemble!
All right. If you have not seen, you probably don't have Instagram. But Instagram has come out with a new look. What were your initial thoughts of the new look, Matt?
My initial thoughts were whatever.
I was like, really? I'm kind of, you know, baffled by the color and the way it looks. I really don't like it, but you know, that's just, I guess, the look of the app. They did change the insides, but go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about, from a design standpoint, about this logo, about, you know, how it's not good design. Anybody could have did it. Yeah. Oh my gosh, all they did was use a gradient, blah, blah, blah. And I get that to some degree. Being that I took design classes and I know like a little bit about it. So I kind of get what people are saying. I guess like literally what I said earlier about my initial thought was true. Like when I first started seeing articles popping up online about it, I thought, you know, I don't care if they change their logo, good for them, whatever. Right. Like I know where Instagram sits on my phone, so it's not going to confuse me to see a new logo. I know it's Instagram. It's like whatever. And then I guess after I saw it, I think I started thinking like, well, this is kind of stupid. This doesn't reflect at all like what Instagram was. It doesn't seem to do like any like pay any homage to the history or why Instagram's logo was what it was to begin with.
Right.
So like for me, the Instagram logo being kind of tied into the Polaroid land camera. You know, which is obviously super retro.
Right.
And then the fact that it had, you know, and still does have all these filters that were kind of designed to look retro, that kind of tied in nicely.
Yeah.
You know, it made sense. And now it doesn't really make sense. So I was reading like a little bit of stuff about it and reading about like, you know, why they changed the logo and stuff like that. And I was reading something from Ian Spalter, he's Instagram's head of design. And he said something that kind of makes sense to me. I'm kind of buying it a little bit.
Okay.
But basically what he said was that brands, logos, and products develop deep connections and associations with people. So you just don't want to change them for the sake of novelty. But the Instagram icon and design was beginning to feel not reflective of the community, and we thought we could make it better. And I thought about that for a little while, and I thought about like the way I use Instagram, like the pictures that I post and then the pictures that I consume on Instagram, like everything that's in my feed. And nobody's using the filters anymore. You know, Instagram now is not what it was 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, it's completely different. So in a way, I think that does kind of make sense. You know, why not kind of update it and, you know, make it kind of, I don't really know if this new logo succeeds in reflecting what the app has become or not. I really couldn't answer that. The previous logo succeeded in reflecting what the app was, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, things can't stay the same forever, I guess. And, you know, it's, you know, it's just like, you know, Facebook, you know, Facebook changes. They don't change their logo, but they change, you know, their website and their app or whatever, and people get all up in arms, and then after a while it's you get used to it, you know. And yeah. I think this will be the same way.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so this is what they said when the update came. It says, "We have a new look. Our updated icon stays true to the camera and rainbow." And I'm like looking at it going, "No, it doesn't." And then it says,
what they kind of say is that gradient is
the rainbow. Right. It says the simpler app design puts the focus on your posts and keeps your features in the same place. Okay. But
see,
you know,
and I barely even noticed like when I opened the app. I mean, I was aware that it was different. You know,
right.
It's basically like clear, you know, all the color comes from the pictures, which was the whole point of the
right.
of the user interface now. But they could have just not said anything.
Yep.
And I probably wouldn't have even noticed because I was never really ever focused on the interface of the app. I was always just focused on the videos and pictures that I was looking at.
Yes. I mean, I look at the features on the inside, and I have absolutely no problem with it. I actually think it does help, you know, take the focus and place it on the images that are on the screen. But the logo, I don't know if Facebook did the same thing. I don't know. It just seems counterintuitive because branding is everything. And this is a huge change in branding. You know, most of the time you want to make subtle changes to your branding, not extreme changes like what they did, because it's right. You know, you want something that's recognizable. Let's say somebody is new to the game and they decide, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get Instagram. You know, my first thoughts would be, wait, is that it? Or is that some knockoff that ended up in the app store? Because it looks like a knockoff to me. But I guess in the grand scheme of things, our images on the platform is what counts, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to miss the old logo. Like, if I was going to get a t-shirt with the Instagram logo on it, like, of course, I'd rather have the old logo.
Yeah. Well, you know? I guarantee you there's going to come a time when they'll bring it back and go, oh, this is Instagram classic. Like what Coca-Cola did back in the day when they changed it from New Coke back to Coca-Cola classic. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but one thing's for sure, we probably won't see a like a weird Polaroid camera being made with this design.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's their aim. Dave in the chat room said, just a thought, could it be a turn to Instagram video importance? I don't know. I think somebody had the bright idea and somebody else couldn't say no. When it came to the design, probably somebody at the very top said, hey, I got a design, option for everybody. And everybody's like, oh yeah, that looks great. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with it. And really inside they're going, really? Okay. Whatever. It's your show.
I totally get your feelings towards this and I completely understand. But on the other hand, I just think,
it's not that important.
Well, yeah. It's kind of amusing. Like, and it's not you. It's just, the internet in general is just all up in arms about the fact that this logo changed when really, like, the logo doesn't matter. It's just whether or not the app is any good.
Yeah. Which it is a good app. I'm still getting used to the Explore feature, or I guess it's, these are images based on what you've liked and on who you followed. And I'm like, okay, interesting. So, yeah, it's.
See, I think that that's great. I definitely prefer that over the old popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing, you know, because I never cared about the pictures that were in popular. But, you know, if they want to kind of curate together stuff that they think I might like based on what I've liked in the past, I'm all about that, you know, because it's introduced me to some, you know, people on Instagram that I never would have known about. And I've seen pictures that I never would have seen and never would have been able to enjoy if it weren't for that feature.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. One of the things I do have to complain about, because it seemed like every day for like a month they were doing an update saying, oh yeah, you can, we have a new feature for everybody. You can see how many people have viewed your videos.
Yeah. All that was, they just weren't changing the text, but I'm sure it was just bug fixes. That was annoying though. I know what you mean. It was like every day for like a week.
Yeah. But did that change?
What do you mean?
Have you seen any counts of how many people have been viewing your videos?
I haven't looked. I have no idea.
It hasn't. I haven't seen anything. I could be wrong, but I looked in all the areas where they said, and I haven't seen a thing. So I don't know. I don't know how that gets through and they say, oh yeah, you know, we've got an update. This works. And then to do it 5, 6, 7 times in a month and then it still doesn't work. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what's wrong. I don't know if I'm looking in the wrong spot or it just doesn't work. I don't know. But Dave says videos can be 60 seconds now. He said, yeah, so he's wondering if that's a coincidence. And I'm like, nah, probably not. 60 seconds, that's decent. I mean, is that better than the 15 seconds?
No. I don't have the attention span anymore. Yeah.
When is this thing going to end? Oh.
Yeah. That's how movies should be. I'll pay $8 to go to the theater and then just show me like 115 second movies or something.
Yeah. Man, that was great. You know, the movie.
Remember the 67th movie? That one was awesome.
Oh, I think I would forget what what they were and be like, wait, did I see that one? Oh yeah. they probably somewhere halfway through they can repeat some of them and fill up the time because some people forgot.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It saves on production costs.
It's just 10 movies and you get to watch them 10 times.
Yeah. I don't know. I something feels funny about this whole change with Instagram. It just seems so out of the ordinary. It doesn't seem like something is right. And I don't know if in the future, you know, we may get something that says, oh yeah, Instagram is breaking off from Facebook, or, you know, I don't know, just something feels funny. Dave says, squirrel.
I think you're reading way too much into it.
I could be, but, you know, it just seems kind of odd. It's like the guy coming home with the Ferrari, you know, it's his midlife crisis. Is Instagram going through some sort of a midlife crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They could be. I don't know. Maybe they just had some designers sitting around bored over there and they needed to justify
making
a paycheck.
No. They had consultants come in and say, oh, yeah, you need to change this and that. That has to go. You know, and then everything's going to be great when everything was great as it was. I bet you they had some consultants come in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
So they changed all their app icons. So like Hyperlapse, Boomerang, and Layout all got revamped logos that are kind of in the same vein as Instagram's.
Yeah. Bill says, the CEO's daughter said, look, Dad, I designed a new logo. That sounds good.
I should get my son into logo design. I think he's colored something like this once.
Yeah, I know. Outside the lines and everything.
Yeah. Pretty sure we have some finger paintings that look like this hanging on the refrigerator. You know what? I'm going to look into that because maybe I could get them for copyright infringement.
Yeah. Speaking of Polaroid.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Well, cool. I think we should. I think that's enough with the news. I think we should go ahead and jump into our post pick of the week. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, our weekly photo challenge last week was, remind me again. No, I'm just kidding. It was double exposure. And I have to say, it was a pretty interesting challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's one way to describe it.
Yeah, it was interesting because in Facebook, we noticed that a lot of people were doing some composites, which are not quite double exposures. Composites are when you take and place another part of a photo into a photo and combine the two, whereas a double exposure, it's like taking two individual shots and just overlay one on top of the other. And almost have a see-through effect or some sort of a reflection or...
Yeah, like ghosting kind of.
Yeah, ghosting. So, you know, we kind of talked about it in Facebook. So if you weren't in Facebook, you know, just Google double exposure, you know. One of the things that I mentioned was that most double exposures back in the day when we shot with film were mistakes, mainly because we forgot to advance the film. And when I had a camera, okay, there's two different situations. I have a couple cameras. One of them, you can do double exposures all day long until the cows come home. And then another one won't let you press the shutter button unless you advance the film. It had a double exposure safety. And
that's no fun.
Yeah. Well, especially when you think the camera's broken and then you realize you just have to twist and you hear a click and then it's able to release the shutter. Back a long time ago when cameras were boxes and you put a sheet of film in, you didn't have to really worry too much about double exposure unless you forgot that you did put a new piece of film in there. And then when the rolls came, when you were able to, you know, turn and expose a portion of the film, and you tried to number it, you had to guess, okay, did I turn it far enough so that it's not going to double expose a certain area of the negative? You know, you had to worry about things like that. And then it got to the point where the cameras would automatically advance the film once the picture was taken. So double exposures became rare and more rare. So for the most part, a double exposure was a mistake. But with mistakes came, happy mistakes, I guess. Would you call it a happy mistake when you have two images? Happy accident. That's a good reason. Yeah. Two images came together and created a piece of art, and it looked good. It was like, ooh, that looks cool. I like that, you know, but the likelihoods that you were able to get something that looked good and be exposed correctly was very rare. So, you know, most of the time we had to think about double exposures as being mistakes. Well, I think, you know, double exposures today are more like pieces of art where they're not mistakes. But even the pieces of art kind of look like they've been put together. And it takes away from the happy mistake. And so that was one of the things that we kind of talked about in the Facebook group. So if you're not in the Facebook group, you are missing out, and you're missing out on some good stuff. But we had a lot of submissions, and I have to say there were some pretty neat ones in there, but unfortunately we can only choose one. So this week's weekly photo challenge winner is, let me pull it up, Matt DeVore, and it was called Color Cycle. And it looks like there's a couple kids in the background and maybe some cycling stuff that's overlaid with print and brick and other stuff. But it actually, I'm looking at it now, it looks like it's the same schematics for the Instagram logo. Just the way it goes from pink to red to orange. Like it's got that gradient effect. But I thought it was pretty neat. There's the kids in the background. You can't really see their faces that well. They're kind of not distorted, but there's enough of the second exposure to kind of creatively block their faces. And because and I think it creates a lot of tension there, which is one reason why it caught my eye. It looks like there's a bar going across the girl's eyes to block him off, like he didn't want her identified. But it could be that, you know, just the way it was, it worked out perfectly. What'd you think?
No, I definitely like the way it turned out. I almost wish that I could see this just black and white.
Hmm.
And like maybe like high contrast kind of, mm-hmm. And because it just it has some interesting things going on. It's really kind of a trippy picture, because it's not only is it a double exposure, so you have, you know, the ghosting and things kind of superimposed over top of each other, but it's also a reflection.
Okay.
So it's like there's really like so much to look at and a lot going on. And then the way part of the image kind of ghosted over the boy's face,
uh-huh.
it reminds me of a technique in like black and white film photography when you're developing and making prints. Some people call it solarization, but it's called sabatier.
Okay.
And it's kind of like this tonal reversal, and you get these kind of like halo sort of effects. And it's really, it's hard to explain. It's easier to just show people what it is. But part of this image reminds me of that effect. And I think that's part of the reason why I want to see this in black and white.
Yeah. And his face, it looks like the brick was positioned just perfectly to blend in with his head and, you know, kind of give him a textured look, too. It's pretty neat. I'm curious too, what the black and white would look like, but then I kind of don't want to see the black and white because I want to think of this, you know, the way it is and, not have, maybe the color taken away, but good job, Matt. It's a pretty cool image. We're going to use this image for our album art for the episode, but also it'll be our banner for this week on the Facebook group. If you would like your image to be featured as the post pick of the week, go on to Facebook or onto Flickr and look for the thread for this week's weekly photo challenge and participate. You get to see all sorts of neat stuff. One of the things that I will say this, because I told this to Matt earlier, one of the things that probably prevents me from picking an image is if you can see somebody's face pretty clearly. It is, you know, it gets to be a little bit of a gray area when it comes to posting images of people's faces for publications, especially if the image is not ours. It belongs to you guys. What may, you know, seem innocent could end up turning, you know, hey, I don't want my kid's face up on this website. You need to take it down or we're going to sue you. You know, a lot of times that goes through my head and I don't choose an image of people's faces. And I try to keep it as non-recognizable as possible. So an image like this one here is a good representation of what I will choose if there are people in the image. So keep that in the back of your minds when you do post an image. And, you know, think about that because I tend to, you know, veto some images just because of that scenario that can happen, because we do live in a time where people get upset when they all of a sudden find out their kid or themselves are posted somewhere on the internet. So, you know, we just we try to avoid that as much as possible. Yeah. So if you want your post, if you want your image as post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and go on to Flickr and submit. Also, take a look at the images that are being posted. You'll find some pretty amazing images, and you'll also be challenged by what you see. And a lot of times, challenged to do better. That's what I'm always looking at. So very cool. All right. We need to figure out what this week's post weekly photo challenge is going to be. So let's put our thinking caps on and let's get some suggestions. Do you have any right off the bat, Matt?
No. Something that's not a technique.
Ooh, okay.
Bill Counts says logo design. We actually might do that.
You know what?
Not this week.
Yeah. Okay. So I, a couple years ago, changed my logo. I don't think anybody knows what my logo looks like, but I did go through a logo change, and it was a picture of a folding camera that I have that, and the image was taken with my iPhone 3GS, and I did it in black and white, where it was not, there was no shades of gray. It was strictly either black or white for the image, because I wanted to have a single color logo. And it looks great. I'll have to post that in the Facebook group for people to see. But that could be a fun challenge to do, is to try to come up with a logo based on the images that we capture. But I don't know.
We'll do that one when I'm about ready to create a website.
Okay. You mean almost never?
No.
Are you actually thinking of creating a website?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you have some great images that you need to show the world.
Well, that's what Instagram's for.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Well, I'm going to throw one out here. Let's pull out a oldie but goodie.
Is it tools?
No. Okay. It could be. You already shot me down with that one. All right. An oldie but a goodie. Let's do black and white again.
Yeah. I haven't done any black and whites in a while.
Me neither. And, you know, talking about the image that we picked for this week, you were talking about black and white. I think it's a good excuse to start doing some black and white again. So, all right.
In the chat room likes it.
Yep.
So therefore, that's
done.
That's the deciding factor. If Bill in the chat room likes it, that's what we're doing.
All right. Very cool. So, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No.
All right.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Sort of, but no, I'm just kidding. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram. Where else? I am Twitter and Flickr at M. Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can also find me hanging out and about in the Facebook group. If you want to join the Facebook group or join Flickr or both, go to tinyshutter.com and look for the links. You will find everything there, from our videos to Facebook to our show notes, and you'll find some good stuff there. You'll also see the album art that we post for each individual episode, all there at tinyshutter.com. Also, if you have a comment or a question, you can email us at tinyshutter@gmail.com. All right. I think we got us a show.
Woohoo.
So, all right. Say goodnight to everybody, Matt.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.